the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Brand new week of Drive Time Sports, brand new week of the Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. We're going to talk high school football for this particular segment. Both Carbon and Emory suffering losses over the weekend. On Friday, Carbon falling on the road to Duchesne. Final score in that contest was 41-19. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Josh Huntsman over the phone. Coach, as always, a pleasure.
I appreciate you calling me.
No, I appreciate you a lot, Coach. We'll dive right into it. Carbon suffering their third consecutive loss this season with a 41-19 defeat at the hands of Duchesne. Before we talk about the ins and outs of this game, Coach, I had this conversation with several people last week. And for those who maybe are unfamiliar with high school football in the state of Utah, explain to me just how good Duchesne is, because I think a lot of people take that 1A title, and I don't care if we're talking basketball, football, baseball, golf, it doesn't matter. People see that 1A, 2A, 3A title, and immediately they think that these programs are of lesser quality, and Duchesne has proved over the last, I don't know, they won their 250th home victory in their program's history. They've proven over decades that that's not the case with this 1A program. They're very good.
They are very good, and you know this. Duchesne's a team that could beat most 4A schools. They execute very well. They may not have the biggest, they may not have the strongest, but their execution keeps them in football games and keeps them very competitive. You know, they've got some younger guys at the offensive line, but all four of the guys in their backfield are seniors, and so it's a program that has sustainability. They're very tough. They know what they're supposed to do, and they execute very well.
In this contest, you guys get out to a slow start, and that allows Duchesne to get up early. I mean, how much of that played in to how this game actually went, Coach? I mean, you guys getting off to a slow start, being on the road, Duchesne, obviously there's always a lot of excitement surrounding this football team. It's important for them to start off quickly. I mean, did that kind of dictate the pace from that point on?
It definitely did. You know, we had a first good series against them, and then you know, they scored on the second series on a pass, and it kind of got into our kids' heads, because we weren't expecting them to throw on us, and so we thought we could shut down their run game. We actually did shut down their run game, minus a couple of, they're going to gain their yards, but we kept them out of the end zone when they were running. And when they started scoring through the air, that kind of was a letdown for our kids.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dental football team. Coach, we'll talk about the ins and outs of this offensive unit for you guys. Nate Olson once again goes over the 100-yard barrier, second time in three games that he has done that. And you and I have talked about Colin Lewis providing that second option. He needs to complement Nate Olson. Looking at it statistically, Nate goes over 100 yards, Colin's around that 70-yard mark. I mean, ideally, that's what you want, right, from your backfield?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, we needed a good spark from both of those athletes. We ran into trouble with only 18 passing yards, and if we can get we can push that 18 passing yards up near around 100, we're going to be a lot better off. It means that we're, moving the ball in three different ways, and once we move the ball in three different ways, we're going to have greater opportunities to score touchdowns.
So ideally, where does the passing game need to be? I mean, is it an efficiency mark? Is it looking at completing, 60 to 70% of your passes, or is that a yardage mark? I mean, how do we view that working hand-in-hand with the rushing attack?
You know, we definitely look at all three of those, but for the most part, we need consistency on receptions. So we need to be in the 10 to 12 receptions a game range. And that would help us out immensely with what we're trying to do.
It seems like each week, Coach, you guys are spreading it out through the air, hitting a number of different receivers. It seems like every week I look at the box scores, and I'm talking about a different name each week. I mean, is that good or is that bad? And I ask if that's good or bad because it doesn't seem like you have a legitimate number one option on the outside yet. And again, that could be good because you're getting a variety as well.
You know, we would like a little bit more consistency with some of our receivers. So, we'd like to get the ball more to Chance LeChemenet and more to Ashton Larson. But, spreading it out is not a bad thing. That means that a defense has to cover the entire field. And when you have a defense covering the entire field, it opens up a lot more options for us in the running game.
As far as the second half in this contest goes, you guys basically played Duchesne to an even score. How much of that was due to the fact that you guys upped your game, or Duchesne maybe running the ball, running the clock a little bit more? I mean, what did you contribute to the difference between the first half and the second half, just looking at it on paper?
You know, Duchesne had some of their younger kids in the second half, and we were running the ball consistently in the second half. And so, you know, we got Colin Lewis on a big long run in the second half. We got Nate on a big long run in the second half. And so, you know, it was a combination of them trying to run the ball and milk the clock as much as they could. They'd bring it all the way down to five before they'd start their cadence. And so they held on to the ball quite a bit, you know, offensively in the second half. And then, you know, we did have some big long runs. And so we need to do better in the first half so that we can have an opportunity to play with the team in the second half and not let them try to run as much clock as they did.
In this game, Coach, you guys dipped to 0-3, but at the end of the day, I know there's always some silver lining. What did you take from this contest that you can move going forward from the kids, or did you take anything at all?
You know, they're definitely a good ball club. We'll take the small victories that we got. You know, we'll take the first downs. We'll take the pass completions. We'll take all of those things. But, you know, we're just working for our region play. And these first games, they don't really mean a whole lot to us. We're definitely preparing for that first region match to where we can be in a position to win some region games. That's the most important thing for us, is winning region games.
Well, you guys are in a position to where you can pick up one win moving into league play, which I know would be great. Another 4A squad is on the schedule this week. Ogden, you'll get this game at home. In comparison, I mean, Payson, I got to look at Payson this last week as they topped Emory. You guys battled with Payson. Is there a lot of difference between Ogden and Payson in your mind?
Not really, no. Ogden's vastly improved from where they've been. You know, since coming back into a region, you know, you've had a few more kids that have transferred back from Ben Lomond over to Ogden. And so they have a decent ball club. They've got a new coaching staff. They're headed in the right direction. You know, we just look forward to being able to compete with a team that's on a positive climb.
Coach, this past week, you guys also got a look at Noah Jones once again. Such a sigh of relief to see Noah back out there, him getting cleared following what was a scary situation for him last week. You and I were talking off the cuff, a little quarterback battle here between Jared Atwood and also Noah Jones. That's not a bad thing at all, especially before we go into league play. What have you seen from both of these kids that you like, where if you could combine them into one quarterback, you'd have the perfect kid under center?
You know, we definitely like both of these quarterbacks. Both of them give us kind of the same options. Both of them can run the ball when they need to run the ball. Both of them can throw it when they need to throw it. Both of them are heady. You know, we put them in situation last night where we went, you know, extremely fast. We went up tempo on our offensive side of the ball. We were calling plays every 15, 20 seconds just to make sure that we had both of those quarterbacks, you know, producing and doing things on the fly in pressure situations. So, you know, we're going to continue to evaluate this week, and we'll decide on a starter probably Wednesday night, just so that we can, you know, have one of them go down and play with the JV a little bit. And so that's kind of where we're at right now, is we're just doing the evaluation and making sure that we get a good look at both quarterbacks throughout the week so that we can see which one of them is going to start for us on Friday night.
But last week when we talked, you had mentioned that you guys really had to narrow down the playbook for Jarrett when he went into the contest against Payson. Between now and then, how much of an improvement have you seen from him, not only on the field, but also from a mental standpoint of being able to control things and open up the playbook?
You know, he's walking around with a little bit more swagger than he had in the past, and so that's definitely a good thing. He understands what we need him to do out there on the field. He understands that he needs to get the ball into the playmaker's hands, and so we've got a decent evaluation on him. We're not completely there yet, but you know, he's been a bright spot for us in practice, and he's done a great job.
In the state of Utah, there's no restriction, right, on how many quarters these kids can play if we're talking JV or we're talking varsity. That's different from some of the states. We had this conversation on the show last week. Some of these states actually limit how many quarters these kids can play if it's sophomore or JV level. So using the JV, how much of an improvement and how much more preparation do these kids get moving forward if that's what you elect to do?
Well, we've got a couple of our starting linebackers who we send with the JV group just so they can learn the position a little bit better and see some things previous the night before, and that they can bring to the table when they come Friday night. And so we're going to use that to our advantage as much as we can so that we can, you know, we're not playing the same people, but we're playing the same schemes. And so we're sending our kids, evaluating them, getting a look. We try to get everything on film, and so, you know, we'll break down the JV film when they get home. Probably take us, you know, into midnight or later, breaking down the film for them, so that we can get an idea of what their varsity group might run the next day. You know, it's not a lot of time to prepare, but it gives us enough to where we can have kind of an idea based on film that we've seen before and based on that film that, you know, we have a good idea of what they're going to be running.
I absolutely love this week in the high school season, Coach. I think this is when it actually starts getting fun, because it's the final non-league contest of the season. You can build so much momentum going into league play next week, and you kind of start to see what the region consists of. And I think the 3A North, I mean, it's so interesting this year, because Judge Memorial is always going to be Judge Memorial, but they are down. Emory, Carbon, two teams that have yet to get a victory. Certain aspects of both these teams that I like an awful lot. And then you talk about Grantsville and Morgan. They seem to be the two best teams in the 3A North, and you kind of have an unknown with Union. I mean, what's your evaluation of this region so far, now that we only have one more league or non-league game before they start to count?
Well, if you could call it Jekyll and Hyde-ish, you know, that's definitely what it is. You have teams that will come out and play really consistently at times, and then they'll play very sporadically at times. And so, you know, it's difficult to get a good read on what's happening. You know, you had a Grantsville team that went into Idaho and played, and, you know, not sure of the caliber of school that they played, not sure if they're up or down, you know, haven't really looked at a lot of stats there. And then, you know, they play a tough Stansbury team that has very consistent Stansbury team, and so it's kind of difficult. Union, like you said, is really the outlier. We're not really sure where we're at on Union. We kind of know all the other teams where they're going to be in that consistency range and that ranking, and so it's definitely one of those Jekyll and Hyde years.
We'll end with this, Coach. I know you guys had a late practice last night. A little bit of a different week because, again, the kids don't have school on Monday, so it's a short week in that regard. What did you get out of the late-night practice yesterday?
Tempo. You know, we definitely went tempo. We were calling plays every 15 to 20 seconds. We checked to make sure that our kids could run at that pace. We're looking at going a little more up-tempo against Ogden this week to see if we can get a lot of offensive snaps in, and so that's going to be huge for us. We're going to do the same thing today. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow. And, you know, Thursday we'll do our walkthrough, but we're looking to increase the offensive production. So we're looking at tempo as a way to do that.
Coach, it's always fun to talk football with you. Again, I look forward to it each week. Thank you again. Best of luck this Friday against Ogden.
Definitely appreciate it. Go Dinos.
Definitely go Dinos. That's Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team breaking down this upcoming Friday's matchup. Carbon will play host to Ogden. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. We'll move over to talk some college football. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.